Can See Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan. We are live from Oxnard. By the way, be on the lookout for those Best Buy windows and siding confessional videos. We got some quick Stars news for you. The Dallas Stars are going to induct Joe Nieuwendyke and Ralph Strangis into the team's Hall of Fame. And I can tell that actually makes several people in the tent right here very happy. I think for a lot of us, Ralph Strangis was...
He taught me hockey.
Yeah, well,
him and Razor taught me hockey.
The voice of the Stars, and then obviously Joe Nieuwendyke, a humongous part of the run to the Stanley Cup championship in 1999. Right now, the man who is going to guide this Cowboys team to the championship, I've determined, because he loves questions that far off in the future. We bring to you from DallasCowboys.com, Mickey Spagnola. Is that a fair breakdown and introductory statement about you?
Yes, absolutely. I got all the answers, right? They just need to ask me.
Yeah. Was there... It's the first day, so obviously we're all cautious about being like, I have these grand narratives off of one pseudo-practice. But there were definitely some fun plays, whether it was the Duran knockaway of the Pickens catch or was the Nealon pick six. Was there any particular like moment or play or whatever that you were like, oh, that was interesting?
Well, I came away with the fact, and see, this is hard because there's no pads on.
Yes, for
right?
Sure. Yeah,
for sure.
But they were somewhat successful running the football.
Yeah.
And some long runs, yes. Which I thought was weird because I'm looking at the paper today. And the thing about running the football, the first play, it said Javonte Williams fell down. Well, the next play, he went 80 yards for a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you start?
That's 40 yards a carry. I'll take it.
Right? So I thought that was strange. I thought the pace of practice was good. That was something that Schottenheimer wanted to kind of empower with this team.
Can you explain that a little bit more for like, because I know you're used to it, and like I saw your thing about this is the 40th time spending at least 1 week in training camp with the Cowboys. And by the way, my side question for that, were the 1988 Olympics really worth it to skip out of
training
camp? But like so,
3.5 weeks in Seoul, Korea? Come on.
I'll take it.
So you get to see this.
Yeah.
You are very familiar. Can you explain for people, like, what do you mean when you say the pace of practice?
It things just kept moving.
Yes. Yeah.
And even during individual drills, the pace was boom, boom, boom,
yeah.
Boom, go to the next thing. And I think that was one of the things he wanted to establish. And when they were calling plays, now remember, the head coach is calling the plays.
Yeah.
And it was run the play, get back in the huddle, and go again. And there were a couple of times on those deep passes, and I remember one, CD ended up 60 yards down the field. They didn't wait for him to come back.
No.
You know, and he's running back. It was like, all right, get another wide receiver in there. We'll run this play, and you can go in on the next play. We're not lollygagging around, right?
Yeah, I like that as well.
And I thought that was something he wanted to establish. We saw it in the OTAs, in the mini camp, and it continued here. Also, the enthusiasm of these assistant coaches that, you know, some of them in the NFL for the first time. And, you know, they're you know, getting these guys moving. They're talking. So, I like that. I like the energy on the defense for sure.
Yes.
And a lot of guys are getting opportunities that if they were totally healthy, wouldn't be out there. So, again, I thought that was, you know, looking good. Now, we made so much a deal. I guess maybe it was in the press conference, we're going to have to redefine what participating in practice is.
For sure. Hey, all they right? were out there on the
they
field.
They were out
that
there.
Existed.
And I should have brought my bike helmet and showed you just kind of put it up on the back
whenever
of your head.
Whenever
right?
you're cruising.
So yes. The helmet, yeah, the helmet is up on the back of Micah Parsons' head. Now, he did stretch with the team. and he was actually with the team. So that was an improvement.
He was, and we talked about this in the last segment, and this could be a big nothing, but I thought it was at least encouraging that he wasn't isolated when you say with the team. He was chatting Ezeraku up quite a bit.
Right.
Following plays or drills or whatever.
Right. But he wasn't participating.
You're right.
He was a watcher.
Yeah.
And the guys that we expected to continue rehabbing continued to rehab. That was a good thing. Positive. Sam Williams was out there.
He was pretty physical too yesterday.
Right.
He blew somebody
up on a. It was
a tight end, I believe.
Yeah, it was. It was a running play, and the tight end got in his way, and he just cold cocked him.
Yeah. I thought there was going to be a little bit of a scuffle after that for a second because they did walk next to each other for quite some time.
And I think folks need to understand he tore his ACL the end of July. So he's had this is a long rehab for him, and he's ready to go. So I thought that was good. That was a positive. I'm watching Savon Revel do his rehab with Britt Brown, and he looks like he's ready to go. I would imagine they're going to continue his rehab for this week during ramp up, and I wouldn't be surprised if maybe next week when the pads come on, he's ready to go, and that helps out the cornerback position greatly.
Okay, and I'm glad you moved in that direction because is it maybe most intrigued, curious, concerned, whatever the right word is, about the cornerbacks? Not in terms of the talent, but just because, like you said, you have so many people like working back from
health.
Things. Yeah.
Right? You've got three guys coming back from knee surgeries, and that includes Josh Butler, who, by the way, kind of made a cameo appearance as a starter, and then he tore his ACL. Trayvon Diggs working back with Britt Brown, rehabbing, and he looked like he was moving well, but again, because they didn't have their hands on him, they got to see where he's at. Personally, not looking at film of, video of him working out with somebody else, and you get a better feel for when he's going to be ready. He says he's ahead of schedule. He's 500,000 behind schedule.
Just about that. I know that has become a huge deal.
And I'm not sure why.
It's written into the contract that, like, if you don't meet the certain percentage of workouts here at, the facility, then you won't get this bonus. And people keep saying
it's not a bonus. It's a subtraction from his $9 million base salary.
Okay. And so I know he said his feelings were a little hurt, and I understand that.
Did he read his contract?
I would also like $500,000. Do you not think that this is like as big of a deal as perhaps the number of headlines has got?
Well, he doesn't think so.
Yeah.
He said his feelings were hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you knew that was a clause in your contract about working out in the off season, especially coming off an injury. Now, he said, I'll make it back with incentives. There's an incentive for interceptions, but you also got to be on the field. And I think I mentioned it yesterday. He also has a per game incentive that if he would play all 17 games, he would make another $1 million. So every game he misses, he loses $58,000 on that incentive.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So
maybe my number's higher than on how many he plays this year.
So, again, and again, if whatever you did in the offseason, rehabbing away, and you're not ready to start the season, first game, 58, and second game, 58, and it just keeps going, right? So, to me, hopefully, they're hoping that he did everything he needed to do to rehab, so he's ready to start the season, and he's not missing games. They don't want him to miss games. He misses the opener. Okay, you got Deron Bland. Maybe you have Revel. And then you're sitting there going, oh, career Elam, can you really step up and play like a first-round draft choice that he never really did in Buffalo?
Yeah.
That's a lot of pressure on him to be in the top three if Diggs is not there.
Now, I'm not necessarily basing this off of practice yesterday, but I know Shoddy has talked about it a lot leading up to it. Are you anticipating, excited for maybe a little bit more pre-snap motion or things along those lines? Oh, that's a big shrug right there.
If you're at least the people
him,
here
yeah,
saw.
If you're not watching them on the Twitch or the YouTube, that was a big, giant shrug of,
I mean, I've seen motion. Okay, fine. Here's what motion does. It identifies if the defense is in man coverage or zone.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're in man coverage and your wide receiver's in motion left to right, if they're man, the man's following them. If not, the cornerback on the other side's widening out, and it's like, okay, he's coming into my zone. So, I mean, if it was the panacea of deception, you would do it every play, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I like that.
Which I do think guys like Mike McDaniels, and I think they do it sometimes. Just
and they
because.
Might,
Sean McVay, just because.
Yeah, it's not like they're trying to deceive you.
Yeah.
They're trying to identify where the linebackers are doing, what the cornerbacks are doing.
Panacea
of deception.
It's my new favorite word. Yeah, we're going to use that from now on. I've been very adamant. I wanted to go back to Javonte Williams real quick. Very adamant that. If he could make, I watched a lot of Denver games last year because he was on my fantasy team. And so I saw a lot of times him, and I didn't know if it was the offensive line or him just coming off the injury, but I was like, if he could have made a cut there, that's different. And that's been what I've been saying. If he can make one cut, he's going to be a good running back for this team. I think the offensive line can block it. Do you see a guy that looks healthier right now? And
yes.
Also, does it look like there is a pecking order at this running back spot right now?
I think it's Javonte Williams, and really all you got to do is follow the money.
Yeah.
He got the most.
Yeah.
Miles Sanders next, and you know, he's playing on the veteran minimum exception where you get paid a little bit more, but you only count like just a tad over $1 million against the cap. And then after that, I think it's Jaden Blue. And how quickly can they integrate him into the offense to really know what he's doing? I think a couple plays, you saw his speed when he exploded around the corner. Which game was it with Texas? It was one of the plays. Was it Clemson? He had the big runs. There was those big runs for touchdowns. And you're going, oh, okay. And my thinking is third down, if he happens to be the third down back, And I've got Pickens and Lamb on the outside and Turpin in the slot. That's a lot of speed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of speed. Turpin was running out of the backfield yesterday,
right.
too.
He had a couple of plays.
So you know, Schottenheimer's going to make a priority of running the football. Now, how well, that's what we got to find out. But he will not get away from it. If you look at his numbers when he was in Seattle and the Jets, the running game was always effective. I think one year with Seattle, they were number one in rushing in the league.
Oh.
And that was, I mean, Carroll obviously was committed to it.
Right.
But it was his job to make sure those were drawn up and installed.
And when he was in these different places, it was just with guys.
Yeah.
You know, and Clayton Adams, the offensive line coach, now the coordinator here, but when he was in Arizona, is it James? James Conner, running back?
Yeah.
The guy was effective.
Yeah, he was.
And he was just thought of as a guy, but the running game was effective. Now, it helps if you have Kyler Murray at running back.
Quarter running back.
Yeah. That's okay. Look, Jerry said Michael Parsons was. That's okay. It happens.
The other thing, too, is obviously body types are interesting to see. Nealon and Guyton look like they've grown into men.
Yes.
It looks like Guyton looks like he's put on weight, and yesterday watching him, he looked like he knew what he was doing. Whereas last year at this point, it looked like he was still trying to catch up and get up to speed on
things. He just hadn't played a lot of football.
Yeah.
You know, and again, if they had a healthy and better third swing tackle, he might not have played as much as he did. But Chuma Adoga, okay? That guy makes me kind of suck air through my teeth. Like,
that is not what I expected you to say.
And then he got hurt.
Yeah.
And so now Guyton, he's got to play, right? And so, but again, I thought the few opportunities that Awesome Richards got last year.
I liked him too. Yeah.
So Guyton better be careful because at now he's the swing tackle. Usually your swing tackle is an aging veteran that you just plug in And
interesting.
And Richards might be the guy, and he doesn't have a lot of experience. That's why, like, that position, I think it takes experience because you don't get that many reps in practice. Same thing with the backup quarterback. Once the season starts, Dak, you know, he hogs all the snaps. And so the backup quarterback has to rely on preparation and experience. And the experience at that position is three NFL games between the two guys.
Wow.
And two of those were 2019 when Greer was a rookie.
Wow, yeah. Man, well, great stuff as always. Mickey Spagnuolo from DallasCowboys.com. We will catch up with you again tomorrow.
I'll be here. I don't know if I'll have my tank top on.
I appreciate you wearing rocking tank top Tuesday on a Wednesday, as you promised yesterday.
I made up for it.
Yes,
you
did.
There you go.